Amen. I couldn't ask for a more fitting song than for what was just sung tonight. And we certainly serve a wonderful, powerful, everlasting God. And I'm so thankful for His love for us as fallen sinners and what He did in sending His Son to be our Savior, represented by the table in front of us tonight. And the men have a challenge. If you need one, a copy of notes tonight. I don't typically preach, or I do preach with notes, but I don't typically give a handout with the notes. But I believe with what we're going to be looking at tonight, it might help to be able to retain some of it and take it home with you. And we're going to focus in upon our God and the greatness of our God. And I believe our God wants us to know Him and wants to have us to have a relationship with Him. And that's demonstrated by what He did in sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And ever since man fell back there in the garden, and before that, God came down and walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And then that relationship was lost. But God restored that relationship and allows people to be saved, be born again, and have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for our God tonight. And you'll notice that the notes in front of you, the name of our challenge tonight is the glorious name of our Lord. And so we're going to focus upon our God, who He is, and just the greatness of our God for a few moments tonight. And in specific, we're going to look at the name of our God. And you look all throughout Scripture and you think about all the names that our God is known by, and what an edifying study. And we want to be able to, even when we pray, know our God by name. And our God knows us by name. Isn't that a blessing? And so I'm just overwhelmed with the song, even with the ladies tonight. Everlasting God. And we want to know Him and all those wonderful attributes they sung about tonight. And I'm sure we'll even look at some of those. But if you would take your scriptures tonight, we're going to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. There's a picture on your notes there. It says Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And we're so thankful for the name of our God and what it means to us. And we have the name of our God that we can run to. And He is a great refuge for us. But here in Exodus, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 33 and 34 just for a few moments tonight. And this passage here, we have Moses, and he's standing before the Lord. He has specifically moved the tabernacle, which Pastor John has been preaching about. And they would set up their tents all around the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was placed in the middle of the encampment of God's people, if you've ever studied it. But then in Exodus chapter 32, what takes place? They make a golden calf. Moses is up on the mountain. And so they sin against the Lord. And Moses comes down, he grinds the calf into powder. He makes the children of Israel drink of that water. He throws it upon their water. And then he takes the tabernacle, which it's a representation of God wanting to dwell with His people. And it's right inside the encampment of God's people, and he moves it outside of the camp. So now if anybody wants to seek the Lord, they have to go outside the camp, and God's not found right there in the center of the camp, which is where He wanted to be. And this is where we'll pick up the story. Moses, though, remains very close to the Lord. What a great intercessor, and how great in his faithfulness he was to God. He was a sinner, just like every one of us tonight. He failed the Lord, but there was something special about Moses, and he has an exchange here with the Lord as he's pleading before the Lord. And I believe it would do us well as believers here to take heed to what he said, and it'll help us in our study here with the name of the Lord. Don't we desire to know our God more intimately? I know I do. Paul said that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings, the power of His resurrection he talked about in the New Testament. But here we have a man in the Old Testament, Moses, so we can call him the Apostle Paul of the Old Testament, and he uses that same phrase, that I may know Thee. And he is appealing to the Lord. He wants to know Him. So let's look at Exodus chapter 33, and we'll look at verse number 9. We'll start there. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. And again, the cloudy pillar is a picture of God's presence, and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. What a great privilege for the Lord and Moses to have this conversation. It says in verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. I'd be probably my response if I saw the cloud descend there and actually was a part of that. We'd probably be falling on our face, worshiping the presence of the Lord. But look at this great privilege in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I'm thankful for that. He had intimacy with his God. He had communication with his God, being a great intercessor for his people. And he would speak to Moses, but he wouldn't speak to others. So God had a special relationship here with Moses as being the leader of the people. It says, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the people, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So Moses, God is asking Moses to take up the children of Israel, and he says, I'm not going to go with you because of the sin, but I'll send someone else to go with you. But Moses is desiring that the presence of the Lord goes with him. And it's so important that we as God's people have God's presence in our life, and Moses is realizing this, and he's going to mention this here in a couple more verses here. But he mentions two phrases there. He said of God, God said about Moses, I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. And truly, if we are one of God's children, we can say that. God knows us by name, and we found grace in the sight of the Lord. But Moses is referring to his relationship with the Lord here. He says, now therefore, and this is verse 13, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, this is the Lord speaking now in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses now in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And really, that should be the prayer of every one of God's children. If God's presence doesn't go with us, don't move us from this spot. Carry us not up from hence. What good is it going to do? We need the presence of God. Three statements that Moses makes here, and I believe would be wonderful for every one of God's children. And he mentions the two we've already read. The first one was in verse number 13, and he says, show me now thy way. That's a great prayer to pray before the Lord. Show me now thy way. The second one is in verse 13. He says, that I may know thee, that I may know thee. And as God's people, we desire to know our God more intimately. And we'll pick up the third one here as we continue reading. Look at verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What makes believers in this dispensation different than anybody else? We have the presence of the Lord with us. That makes us distinct, separate, unique, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And we're to be different, separated from all of the different people upon the face of this earth. The lost don't have the presence of God with them. But as believers, we have his presence with us. We have his spirit with us. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What wonderful confirmations those were. God says to Moses, you have found grace in my sight. I do know thee by name. We could fast forward a little bit to the book of Ruth. Remember what Ruth said to Boaz? She said, you've taken knowledge of me. How is it that I've found grace in your sight and that you've taken knowledge of me, seeing I'm but a stranger? Remember about God saying to Noah, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as every one of us as believers, if we're saved tonight, we can say we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God's grace is for every man, understand. But the moment we're saved, we've experienced God's grace. God's grace is available. It's not that God's grace limited and only chose a few to be saved. But his grace is available. Christ's sacrifice is for every person. It's made available. But people have to make the choice to receive that, to repent and receive the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we're a believer, God does know our name. And we won't be one of those in Matthew chapter 7 whom the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's important tonight that God knows our name. It's important tonight that we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses had found that. And when Moses hears these two statements that God gives back to him, I can imagine him being overwhelmed. and just thinking, I'm standing here communicating with God. I'm face to face with God, intimate in prayer with God. And then he makes this statement in verse number 18, and I believe it would be a wonderful statement for every child of God to make. He says, and he said, I beseech thee, almost begging God, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And God does something special for Moses. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that to the Lord? Show me thy glory. Don't we want to see the glory of God? Remember what Peter, James, and John had the privilege of going up on the mountain of transfiguration. And they saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured and changed before them. His garments became glistening and white. And they saw the glory of God. But we as believers have the same privilege, I believe, to see the glory of God right here. We can see the glory of God in the pages of Scripture. And so when Moses asked this request of God, show me thy glory, the Lord makes a response. And part of it has to do with the very name of God. And that's why we're going to start with that here tonight. He says in verse number 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Amazing to me the connection between the glory of God and the name of God. If we want to see the glory of God, God says, you need to know my name. And he's going to declare his name and proclaim his name before the presence of Moses. And you and I as believers tonight, if we want to see the glory of God, I believe we can get a glimpse of our glorious God by looking at his incredible, mighty name tonight. I'm thankful for the name of God and the, we could say, names of God collectively all throughout Scripture. But God's going to do something special for Moses as he lets his goodness pass by and as he proclaims his name. And he says here, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. That's an incredible statement. The Bible says in the New Testament, no man has seen God at any time. And there is no man that has seen the face of God. If we were to see the face of God, I believe it would totally wipe us out. The very whited presence and holiness of God. So God said to Moses, you can't look upon my face and live. But let's continue on here. He says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I wonder what that was like for Moses to be hid in the clift of the rock, God to cover him with his hand, God then to pass by, his face passes by him, and then he removes his hand, and Moses is able to look upon the back parts of God. That's incredible to me. One day, though, the hand will fully be taken away, and we'll be absolutely in the very presence of God, and we will see him face to face. And I look forward to that. But it's incredible to me how the Lord said, when Moses said, show me thy glory, that God said, I'm going to proclaim my name. And so when we study the name of God, we really discern the glory of our God when we look at his name. Look, if you would, down at verse number 5 of chapter 34. You see, this actually takes place. And as God goes by, he proclaims his name in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. The presence of God here is just incredible to me. And stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. And he's going to state his name here. So God is really identifying who he is. And really, we want to know our God, so we need to understand his name as he proclaims his name. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Each of these characteristics are tied to who God is. So we want to understand our God. We can look here right at his name and understand him by his very name. It references his character. Verse number 7, here is his justice, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I'm so thankful tonight that God is a forgiving God because we're all guilty sinners before him. Note the three things that God is able and that God does forgive. He says, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. There we have the three Old Testament pictures of sin. rebellion, transgression against him, iniquity. And all those sins, iniquities, and transgressions were laid upon Christ. And all those stripes were laid upon his back. And we are healed by the stripes upon Jesus Christ's back. And so I'm thankful that God is a forgiving God. What if God was not forgiveness? We would be in trouble tonight. But I'm thankful God is a forgiving God. He says that will by no means clear the guilty. So God doesn't let people off the hook. God can't let a sinner into heaven with his sin upon him. God had to provide the way whereby sinners could be made righteous with him. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. What is Moses' response when he sees the glory of God and hears the name of God proclaimed? I'm sure it'd be my response too. When I study the name of God, this is what I come away with, according to verse number 8. It says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. When we realize who our God is and we see his glory, and when we see even and hear the name of our God, it should cause worship. Moses worshiped. So tonight we call this the glorious name of our Lord. Moses there was overwhelmed with being in the presence of God, and he said, show me thy glory. Tonight we cannot see the face of God, but we can study his name. By and by, we used to sing that song, by and by we'll look upon his face. And we look forward to that day. We can see, though, in the name of the Lord proclaimed tonight in his word, we can see the very glory of our God. So when we survey the names of God, we begin to see the awesome glory of God. I never use that word except for when I'm referring to our God. Our God is awesome. Our God's name is awesome, full of awe. He is the only one that is completely full of awe. And we long for the day tonight when God will take away the cover of his hand as he did for Moses and allow us to see him in complete glory. That'll happen when we stand before the Lord face to face. You know, I believe when the scripture came, at that point it says, then we'll know even as we are known. But now we see through a glass darkly. We can say the same can apply to the principle right now about our God. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, we'll know even as we are known. And I look forward to that day. One day we'll be present in God's very glory and we'll not just have a passing glimpse. But when we study the name of God, as God proclaimed his name, when Moses said, show me thy glory, we can see the glory of God. So I'd like to think a little bit tonight on names. Names are important. Tonight, our names identify us for who we are. You know me by my name, correct? David Smith, you know me. My name identifies me with my family. I'm a Smith. My name distinguishes me from others. My name is David. It's not someone else's name out there. And your name distinguishes you from other people. These are just some practical things about names tonight. Our names associate us with our character. When you hear someone's name, you immediately think of, well, if they have a bad character, doesn't that come to mind? If they have a good character, that comes to mind. And I'm thankful when I hear some of your names, I think of good character. So what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear somebody's name? Names are so important. Names speak of our reputation tonight. Our reputation. They're how each and every one of us are known. And we have a name. You've heard that expression used. That person really has a name. Well, what is our reputation? And this is speaking on an earthly level, but we'll then turn this to our relationship and understanding of God. You know, names also endear us to a person because they're about relationship. When I hear the name of somebody I love, immediately it reminds me of the relationship that I share with that person, and it just endears my heart unto them. They're a means of then relationship tonight. Names are very important. And we can say the same thing about our God. It reflects his character. Proverbs 22:1 says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. If you had all the money in the world, what good is it if you have a bad reputation and a bad character? You're not going anywhere. It's so much better to choose to have a good name rather than just to get ahead and have wealth in this world. We want to have good character and a good reputation. The Old Testament word for name is the word Shem. And it was used of different people in the Old Testament here, but it speaks of fame. The word name means fame, what you're known for, you're famous. It speaks of glory even. That's the second definition when you look it up. It means the glory of a person. It's in their name. It speaks of renown. It speaks of a memorial of somebody's individuality. Think about God for a minute and his name. He's totally individual. And his name is a memorial of who he is as an individual. The same thing when you hear my name or your name tonight. Names also, the name for Shem also means honor. It has the idea of carrying with it authority and also character. So our names are very important. The name of God is very important. Names can be very unique. And there's all types of names here tonight. I'm sure your parents chose your name on purpose. When I chose my children's name, I did so on purpose. They were names that meant something to me. And so I'm thankful for each one of my children and the names given to them. Even out west, some of the towns, you think about the names of these places. They're incredible. We were in Montana. There's a town called Lame Deer. Can you believe that? How would you like to live in Lame Deer? Another one was called Two Dot, Montana. But those people, you know, you live in Two Dot. But then you come out here, you have a lot of different names too. And some are hard to pronounce, even the name Tunkhannock. That's a unique name. There's all types of names that set places off, and they distinguish places from other places. But here we're talking about names, and in particular, the name of our God. You know, in the Old Testament there in the Hebrew, many of the names have great meaning behind them. And the Hebrews would choose the names based on the meaning that was behind them. I like names that mean something. Eden means pleasure. Eden, the garden of God, pleasure. Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. His parents probably chose that name of Daniel because of the phrase, God is my judge. Here's one. This is Samson. You remember him? His name means like the sun, S-U-N. Now, I believe this. He should have been like the sun, S-O-N. Okay? And he failed in picturing a good representation of his God. Samson, an amazing one to me, and this is all in God's plan and maybe his sovereignty, but even the name Delilah, which I've never heard anybody name their daughter Delilah or Jezebel or any of these other type of names, but Delilah means to languish or to make weak. Now, if you remember what Delilah did later in life, she was already been named Delilah, so somehow her name already meant to languish or make weak. She cut off Samson's hair and made him become weak, took away the power of God. Names mean something here in the Old Testament. Micah, an Old Testament prophet, means who is like Jehovah? You have Jonathan, Jehovah has given. Jehovah has given. Isaiah, Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah has saved. Do you remember the name Nabal in the Old Testament? This would have been Abigail, the Carmelitess there, her husband. And she makes a statement about her husband in 1 Samuel. She says, as his name is, so is he. The word for fool in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Nabal. So he was a fool. He was known by his name. I don't want to be known by that type of a name, of being a Nabal. But names are important. They mean something. And we could go on studying there much about the names. When I was in high school, we'll get into your notes on the paper. When I was in high school, I was asked to read something. It was called Romeo and Juliet. Can you believe that? I don't know why people, I mean, that's real edifying. But we're reminded of, as I was doing this study, and even reading in a couple books, people bring out the poem that's in there. And he says, what's in a name? He says, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. I don't normally use or refer ever to Shakespeare. I've never done it before. But here's the point. When it comes to the names of God, there is everything in the name of God. So names are not insignificant. The name of God is not insignificant. And he made that statement there about a rose. By any other name, the rose would be as sweet. But not with God. Remember Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 1? It says there that he is the rose of Sharon. I believe that's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ and the lily of the valley. And it doesn't get any sweeter than that. So God's name is so much more important and so high and valuable tonight. And we need to study the name of God. So why study the name of the Lord? And we'll look at these thoughts on your notes tonight. The first would be his name intimates representation. It intimates representation. In other words, it represents who he is. God's name describes who he is. The name of God reveals to us truths about our God as to who he is. We know God because he chose to reveal himself to us by his name. He mentioned in the Old Testament that he had not appeared to the patriarchs by the name of Jehovah before. But then he was at a certain point. So God reveals himself and represents himself by his great name. It's his renown and his reputation that is on the line when he reveals his name. His name also reveals his attributes tonight and his actions. And if you would, look, we already read Exodus chapter 34, but his name is his glory. Let's turn over to Psalm, and we're going to go through our Bible a little bit tonight. I don't want you to miss seeing this in the scripture. Look at Psalm 96, please. Psalm chapter 96, and we're going to look at verse number 2. It says this, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." We see his name mentioned there in verse 2. Look down, if you would, at verse 7 and 8. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." God's name is worthy of glory tonight. And he represents himself this way. God's name is the greatest and most excellent of all the names out there that have ever been. Turn back to Psalm chapter 8. And we'll look at verses 1 and verse number 9 there. Psalm chapter 8. In verse 1 here, and this is even speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." Our glorious God, the lady sung about our everlasting God. He is so high. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Verse number 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Our God's name is excellent. It's so high. Note verse number 2. And this Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 16. It says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." You know, if those disciples even would have been quiet, the rocks would have cried out because of the excellency of God. God's name is excellent. It's the greatest name. And also God's name distinguishes him from all else. Psalm chapter 83 and verse number 18. Psalm 83 and verse number 18 says this, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth." God is exclusive there. Nobody else can claim that name. It distinguishes him from all else. There is only one most high God. And this is how we know him. The first is his name intimates representation. The second thing that why we should study the name of our God is it because his name implies tonight relationship and trust. God desires relationship with his creatures. And if we would look at Psalm chapter 91, we're in the Psalms here. Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15. And this even, I believe, refers to Christ as well in the New Testament, but also it can refer to us here as believers in the New Testament. "Because he has set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath," what? "Known my name." It implies tonight relationship, to know the name of the Lord. And verse 15 says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." God wants to have a relationship with us. He desires that we would call upon his name. And the first point under this is it's by the name of the Lord that we must first even be saved. We have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We realize that we need to repent of our sin. Our sin will most certainly take us to hell. We can do nothing to save ourselves. We can't be baptized or join the church. And we realize what Jesus Christ has done. And we come to him. We believe upon him. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We go all the way back in the Old Testament. And we find that men were saved in the same way, by calling upon the name of the Lord. It means relationship. Back in the days of Seth, it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's right after Adam and Eve, after the fall. Men had to be saved by faith, looking forward even to the sacrifice that was going to come. Even Paul in the New Testament, when you look at the book of Acts, when he was on the Damascus Road, and he then went into Damascus, and Ananias came to the house. What happened? We learn later in the book of Acts that Ananias came and said that he needed to be baptized and he needed to have his sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. He was saved the same way, by calling upon the name of the Lord. And that was prophesied in the Old Testament in Joel as well as in the book of Acts. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I'm so thankful for that promise, that anyone can be saved and be delivered by calling upon the name of the Lord. The Lord wants to have relationship with us tonight. Even the name Jesus, we look at what it means. Jehovah is salvation. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have a relationship with God through him. We could be reconciled. And that's what this table is even about tonight. Remember the song, it says, I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name, beyond degree or measure. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of you. That name still lives and will live on forever, while kings and kingdoms will forgotten be. Through mist or rain, 'twill be beclouded never. That name shall shine and shine eternally. We know the chorus on that song. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. It's through the very name of God that we can have a relationship with God. We must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's only through the name of God that we can be saved tonight, through the name of Jesus Christ. Also, the name of God, meaning relationship, deliverance is found in the name of the Lord. If you would, Proverbs 18:10, it's on your notes there, right there at the beginning on the picture. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We can find deliverance tonight in the name of our God. God wants to bring deliverance. He wants to give deliverance to his people. Let's turn over, if you would, to Psalm 20 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 20. And verse number 1 says this, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Isn't that a blessing? The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse number 7, it says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isn't there a great deliverance, a great dependence there upon the name of our God? We would depend upon him to protect us, depend upon him to defend us. There is great then confidence found in the name of our God. And I'd like to look at one verse, if you would, here, two verses, and that is found in Psalm chapter 9 and verse number 10. And I would highlight this one of all the verses on the name of God. This one just stands out, that we can have great confidence because of the name of our God. It says in verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. When we realize the great name of our God, when we know his name, it causes us to put our trust in him. We can depend upon our God because of who he is. And we know who he is because of his great name. He says, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. There's the great faithfulness of our God. If we know the name of our God, we can put our trust in our God tonight. So there's great confidence found there. Also, Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. We pick up the story with Abraham right after he has gone to defeat the 10 kings who have just taken Lot captive. He takes his 318 armed servants, goes and defeats these kings, gets Lot and his family back. But I believe in his heart and in his flesh, maybe he's thinking, I've just taken out these 10 kings here, and maybe he's fearing a little bit of retribution from them. I would probably be a little fearful, 10 nations that you've just gone after with the sword, and he's only got 318 servants. And also then the king of Sodom came to him and said, I'm going to give you riches and wealth here. And he refused it. And he said, I've lifted up my hands to the possessor of heaven and earth. I don't want any man to say I've made Abram rich. So he refused the wealth of the world, and he's put his trust really in the Lord. And what does God do? he comes down and gives him some confidence by giving him his name. In Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. That's a blessing to me. He says, I am thy shield. Why did Abraham need to hear that? Just because of the 10 kings that he had just taken out. He needed to realize, God's my protection. Have great confidence in his God. He also needed to hear the second part where it says, and thy exceeding great reward. So rather than receive the rewards from the world, God was saying, I'm your reward, Abram. You refused those riches from the world. You didn't want the world to make you rich. I'll be your reward, Abram. So Abram was able to have great confidence in his God by knowing this great I am statement about the name of his God. That thrills me, knowing the great confidence we can have in the great name of our God. Number three here, his name invokes rejoicing. When we hear the name of our God, it should bring great praise and great rejoicing. Psalm chapter 89 and verse number 16. I know there's a lot of scripture here, and for sake of time, we will not go to all of them. Psalm chapter 89 and verse number 16 says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And we could go through and look at all the context there. Let's turn to the New Testament here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. And this is the verse here, by him let us offer. If you would, down at verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to what? To his name. We're calling upon the name of the Lord. We're giving thanks to his name. The name of God should invoke great rejoicing in my life tonight. When you look at our hymn book, how many songs are written about the name of our God? We sung one this morning. Was it Blessed Be the Name of the Lord? Isn't that what we pray for? We're thankful for the name of the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you is another one. There's so many about the names of our God. The names of our God ought to cause saints to worship him. And for sake of time, let's turn to Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. What's going to happen at the end of time? I believe all saints will worship God and his great name, even for all eternity. This one here is in verse number 3. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for all thy judgments are manifest. And we see there the great glory of God's name, even all the way back from Exodus, even to Revelation. And one day we'll be worshiping around the throne of our God because of his great name, who he is. Consider then Moses' response. I already mentioned that at the beginning of the message. When he realized the name of his God, he immediately, instantaneously worshiped the Lord. His name invokes rejoicing. His name tonight instructs reverence. It instructs reverence. When we look back at the Old Testament, we were told that we are not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why is that? His name is holy. We are not to use it in a profane way. We're not to take it lightly. So many people use the name of God in a trite way. And as believers, and even those that are lost, they should not, and we should not ever, take God's name in vain. We shouldn't use it as a swear word. We shouldn't use it as a curse word. And I teach my children that we don't even say gosh, golly, or geez, or gee whiz. Understand how I'm using those. I'm just bringing them out. Those are sort of Christian curse words. Taking God's name in vain. It's just a short. Look it up in the dictionary. If you look up the word for gosh, it's called a euphemism for God. Okay, so if we use that, we're using God's name in vain. And you can look them up in the dictionary. But as God's people, we should have a high view of the name of God so that we would not take his name in vain. We want to revere the name of God and fear the name of God. The Lord won't hold us guiltless, he said, if we take his name in vain. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to blaspheme the worthy name by which we are called. Even Satan in Revelation chapter 13 blasphemes the name of God. Even those who are following the Antichrist in Revelation, they will blaspheme the name of God and they will not repent of their wicked deeds. But we want to make sure that we don't blaspheme the name of God tonight, nor that we would not, that we would dishonor his name tonight. I'm reminded of Malachi chapter 3, verse number 16. I believe I put it in your, on your sheet there. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord..." And why did they fear the Lord? They had a proper reverence for him, a proper respect for him. It says, "Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So they had a connection between the name of God and their great fear of God, a great reverence. I believe that we could say we think upon names. One of the greatest names we could think about is upon the name of our God tonight. His name ought to be reverenced tonight. Number five, his name ensures reliability. His name ensures reliability. God never changes. God is completely reliable. And just as his name would state, Psalm chapter 79 and verse number 9. Psalm chapter 79 and verse number 9. Says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." Note that statement, "for thy name's sake." When God does something, it's because of his name's sake. And God will be true to his word because his name rests upon it. If God did not keep one of his promises, his name would not be trustworthy. But for God's name's sake, he is completely trustworthy. And he will do what he says he is going to do. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12 says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." God said he would forgive our sins. And it's based on the very name of God, the very name of Jesus Christ, that God has forgiven us even of our sin tonight. And we can celebrate this table because of the very namesake of our God. Our God is completely reliable tonight. His name denotes his character, and God is always true to his name. He'll deal according to his reputation for his great name's sake. God's promises tonight are as great as his very name. A promise is only as good tonight as the one who's given it. I'm thankful for that passage that says, "He is faithful who promised." God is faithful. His character rests upon his great name. God does not change, and what he does is based upon his namesake. And I'm thankful that God says, "I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." If God changed, if there was variableness and shadow of turning with God, and God worked one way one day and another way the next, I'd be in trouble. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that God's name does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is completely reliable when it comes to his name. Just as God was alive in Moses' day, and God's name was his name in Moses' day, God's outside of time, God is still the same today. We serve the same God. The same God that David sat out on the hillside and played his harp to and wrote his psalms about is the same God that's alive in the 21st century today. And that's such a blessing tonight. Sometimes we think that God's different nowadays. God is the same God. He's the same as he's written about himself right here. God is 100% reliable. And that should cause me just to be able to put my trust in him afresh and anew tonight. Lastly here, his name implies responsibility. His name implies responsibility. What does this come down to? The practicality of it tonight. My life is not to bring reproach upon the name of my God because I'm called by his name. Two passages there in the Old Testament, or one passage, and this deals with Old Testament Israel. God said his people were called by his name. And in an Old Testament sense, they were called by the name of their God. But in a New Testament sense, we as New Testament believers are called even by the name of Jesus Christ. And we reflect upon the name of our God. And our behaviors reflect upon the name of our God. You know, often we'll tell our kids, remember whose name you're going to reflect upon, right? If you send your kids to someone's house, you'd say, remember who you're representing. Make sure you act like, if the Bells sent their kids to my house, they'd say, remember, you're to act like Bells should, okay? Well, we represent someone so much higher. If we're saved, if we're a believer, if we have a relationship with God, we are a representation of him wherever we go. We bear his name upon us. Even later, at the end of time, God's going to put his name on the forehead of his people. And as those upon the earth during the tribulation will take the mark of the Antichrist upon them and put his name, the name of the beast, the Antichrist, on them, we'll have the name of our God upon us. But right now, we have a responsibility to represent God and Christ wherever we go. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And God is the Father of lights, but we are called children of light. And we're to be a good representation of our God. If you would, let's turn to a passage here. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. And we could look at other passages that deal with us being called by the name of our God. And even that passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word for call can be used to call out to. It can also be used for surname, to take upon the name of one. And so we really do, in a sense, take upon ourselves the name of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. But Colossians 3, 17, speaking about the name of our God and our representation and our responsibility before him. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed. Now, how much of our deeds and our actions does that encompass? Pretty much sure. Nothing's left out, correct? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. See the representation there? Back to the name of our God. If we're saved by Christ, then I am a reflection of Jesus Christ. And I'm to live differently because his name is upon me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it's such a relationship with Christ. I put down a couple different words. The first is association. Association with the name of Jesus Christ. Why should I do all things according to his name? Because of the association. I have a relationship with him. And the second would be there, the authority. Because Jesus Christ is the authority over me. His name means authority. Also, because of the accountability. I'm going to be accountable to Jesus Christ, the judge, one day. And he'll judge me, even he'll judge all by the standard of this book right here. And the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before him. And we will give an account. So then every one of us shall give an account to God. So we must make sure that we're living right in accordance to the very name of our God. Isn't God called holy three times? Peter said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, as I am holy, saith the Lord. And the last one there is acceptability. Acceptability. Don't we want to live in a way that's acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ and that pleases him? I know that we get joy as parents when our children behave in a way that's acceptable to us. And that's on an earthly way. I'm thankful when my children obey. When they don't obey, why are they acting that way? I wonder if God's the same way. I wonder if he wants his children to live in a way that's acceptable and pleasing in his sight. The Bible says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Every practice that we do, the entertainment that we expose ourselves to, the actions and things that we post even on our social media account, is it acceptable to our God? Is it pleasing and fitting of the great, holy, wonderful name of the God that we are called by? Next time you post something on Facebook, ask yourself, is this befitting of the name of my God that I'm called by? That's an incredible privilege. It's so important that I live in a way that's acceptable to the Lord. Our God tonight is excellent as his name. He has chosen to reveal himself to man by his awesome names. To know the name of our God is to know who he is. And to know who he is to know what he will do. To perceive and look at the name of the Lord is to glimpse his glory. And one day we'll look in the very presence of his glory. I look forward to that day coming in the future. Here's a couple questions and we'll close tonight and get ready for the Lord's Supper. Have I called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? Men had to be saved in the Old Testament by calling upon the name of the Lord, looking forward to Christ. People today have to be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord, looking back at what Jesus Christ did, which this table symbolizes even tonight. Have you called upon the name of Christ for salvation in repentance and faith? The Bible says if we believe upon him, then we're going to call upon him for our soul's salvation. The second one, does my life tonight reflect the very glory of God, the very name, the very worthy, glorious name by which I'm called? Does everything about my life, including both my online and my offline life, reflect the very glory of God? It ought to. It should. Do I live up to the worthy name of my God? And also, am I confident tonight in the name of my God. He wants to defend me. He wants me to be confident in who he is and my relationship with him. I pray that tonight, looking at the name of our glorious God, has been a help to you and an encouragement to you. We serve a mighty God who wants a relationship with us, and it's proven and demonstrated by what he did, even for this table tonight. Let's close with a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor tonight. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to call you our Father, Abba Father, and yet to know your mighty name, your glorious name, and it represents your great character. And I pray for all those in this room tonight that you would help any who maybe have never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that tonight would be the night of their salvation, and they would be settled on that and know for certain that they now have the gift of everlasting life. And for those of us as believers, that we would take upon us ourselves the responsibility to live in such a way that's befitting of your glory and your holiness. And even the day-to-day things that we involve ourselves in would cause us to live a more holy life unto you. Help us to have our confidence in you and our trust in you, and that we would find that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We pray that you would be pleased out of what comes out of even this service time tonight. We look forward to celebrating even your table this evening. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn it over to Pastor. Thanks.